Ars Electronica 2009 Human Nature Podcast.
Good afternoon. My name is Pablo Flores. I'm from Uruguay, and I would like to give an approach on the cloud, looking on the side of education and the new generations, mostly thinking about the new generations. So Teddy spoke about a bit about it. About cloud intelligence, yes, but for whom? Who will get benefit of this cloud intelligence, thinking about the next generations? And well, we may see these kids from Japan, for instance. They have computers on their school. They have connectivity. So probably we may think that they will have some kind of participation. These other children are from a rural area in Africa that has food problems. They have also health problems. So they don't look much to having an opportunity of being part of this cloud. These other children are from Laos. I've been there, and they don't have food problem, not in this area at least. They don't have health problem, but they don't have connectivity or computers, and they are not much educated on using this kind of technologies. So they are also not much likely to be part of this cloud. Finally, these children are from a small village called Cardal in Uruguay, my country. And 2 years ago, they were lucky because they received computers from a government problem I'm going to talk about later, that with which they could do something like this. That is a blog about their village, which could tell to the whole world what is it that their way of living, and anecdotes and things about the place where they were living. And it gave a lot of people around the world the possibility of knowing about this place that probably otherwise there would be no information. Thus was done with the help of the teacher and working inside the school. So let me talk first for a minute about this project that is happening in my country. It's called Ceibal. It's a program from the government that is giving one computer, one laptop, for every child of the country in school age. It's about 350,000 laptops. This year, the deployment is gonna get finished. And the children get the laptops at the school, but then they can take them to their homes and they can work them with their parents. The government is also giving internet access to the inside the schools and in some public areas of the localities. Are these kind of computers? These were made by an organization called OLPC, One Laptop Per Child, and they have most functionalities that have other computers. They are very portable and resistant for children. They have multimedia capabilities and the possibility of accessing internet through Wi-Fi. So these computers are being used in many other countries. The organization One Laptop Per Child is working in many countries. It's an organization that was started by Nicolas Negroponte, that is the former director of the MIT Media Lab. and have a very big deployment. It's the first one that will be universal, is in Uruguay, but has other big deployments in Peru, Rwanda, and Mongolia, and many other countries with small deployments. So with these computers, there may be access. So let's talk about what is it necessary to have interaction with the cloud. First, the basic needs like health, alimentation, roof, home, a family or some kind of human support, some educational system, so to have the opportunity to learn and to learn how to write, how to read, and access devices and internet access. That's just to have the possibility of being part of the cloud. This child is from a Uruguayan village. He's a shepherd, like his family. But now when he has to take care of the sheep, he goes with his computer for not getting bored, and so he can work in it and explore what he can do. That's very interesting. And now the question is this child going to be part of this cloud, or will take advantage of all the possibilities of this cloud intelligence we've been talking about? And for this, for answering this question, we have to think about what happens in the real world and how the real world enables to get in contact and interact with the virtual world. So in this scheme, we have on the left side the real world where the people interact for different reasons, get together for different objectives, maybe for work sometimes for doing a sport, for their health, sometimes for spiritual reasons, like religious. And on the other side, we have the cloud, or this that we have called the cloud, that may be everything that we can see on the internet, like websites, social networks, blogosphere. And the bridge between those two places is the different kinds of access devices, not only computers, maybe cell phones, maybe ATM machines, where we also exchange information between the real world and the virtual world. So what is it necessary for this arrow that appears on the drawing to happen? How can those parts be really connected? On the side of the real world, it's necessary to have some kind of culture of accessing and making good use of this cloud. On the other side, on the side of the cloud, it's necessary to have good tools to make to enable the cloud intelligence, like could be social networks and other systems. So we could talk a lot about these tools and how to make them useful for education or for making the next generation take use of this cloud intelligence. However, I would like to focus on the first side, that is the culture that has to be made, because even if there may be thousands of good tools for education, if there is no culture of using it, they will be there but will not be used. So the first need I would like to highlight for having an active participation in the cloud is having the culture of using the virtual world, of accessing the virtual world. In Uruguay, we have made some research about the usage that is being made of these computers and the internet, and some of the results show that the parents, for instance, even if their children take their computer home, and even if they have internet access at home, they won't use it except if they have some external support. I mean, not only the help of their child, but also someone who teaches them what can the internet and the computer be useful for, and some good reasons to learn how to use it. Otherwise, that's the question they have. Why would I have where to learn to use it, and why would it be useful for me? And we can also see that the children themselves, the usage that they make with the computers is narrowly related with how much the teacher encourages them to use the computer. So around this problem, there have appeared some local social organizations by volunteers. For instance, the RAP Ceibal, that is a social organization of volunteers to help the parents and help the teachers learn how to use the computer. A second need I would remark is the need of a culture of sharing knowledge. Because even if you access the internet and you use it for getting information, it's not the same than being sharing knowledge. And this requires a lot of work on knowing how to make a responsible use of the internet and what you publish there. And it for sure has to go to the families and has to go to the teachers. And it's a lot of work to do this, because most times there's not that culture. And other reasons, and giving good reasons for sharing this the knowledge. For instance, one good reason could be working together. In this image, in this screenshot, you can see the blog that I was showing previously, in which the teacher working with the children, they showed what they were working on the school, and some children from Brazil that also had computers got in contact with them, and they started working together. They had some comments, and they started doing things together, and children got very excited on knowing the culture and the way of life of the Brazilian child, and also of learning to write in Portuguese. So the first, there have to be good reasons, and for sure teachers have a lot of good reasons for sharing their knowledge and to not to plan what they will do in the classroom by their own, but sharing and making it richer, the knowledge that they have and each one is building. The third and last need for an active participation, in my point of view, is avoiding the black boxes. You know, we are in a world that most times the information gets in black boxes where you cannot see what is happening inside. And blocks from having more participation of people. And we can see, for instance, in a good system that could be WordPress, that, as I've said, blogging could be a good tool for education. But it's very good having a good tool. It's very good knowing how to make it better. And the people who know how to make better WordPress, for instance, knowing PHP, they can also contribute for education indirectly, or knowing about the server and configuration, they are also knowing, helping these people and these children for education. So there are many indirect ways of helping for education. And an interesting experience has happened with the software of these computers that is all open source software made by Sugar Labs, that is an organization that is founded in the United States. And there is also now a local organization in my country, that's Ceibal Sham, that is about developing software for the computers and the local needs that appear. We shouldn't forget that the open source community, the free software community, is one of the most successful experiences of cloud computer and cloud intelligence. So to finish the perspectives about education and cloud education, is changing somehow the way of learning throughout the lifetime. It makes a new role for the teachers, which gets enhanced and gives new challenges to them. And it gives a new role for the family and the society and the whole society, which is encouraged to participate. And this is very interesting what could be done with this, but it's a culture change, so it should take time, and there is a tough road ahead. Thank you.